Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Praise God, and here we are again on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. Welcome to Declaring the Finished Work. I'm your host, Pat Randall. Amen. So we're just going to jump right into the program today. Amen. Father, we praise you and we glorify your name this day. We thank you that you are a faithful God. Even when we're faithless, you are faithful. Your mercies are new every morning. Great, great, great is your loving kindness toward us. We thank you for breath and life. It is your breath that we breathe. Glory to God. And we're going to take it and we're going to worship you and praise you during this hour. Father God, just let your spirit flow through the airways. Father, your spirit of peace, your spirit of joy, your spirit of love, just going forth, breaking shackles, amen, that are holding people in bondage. Father God, I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in the earth and in your children. I thank you, Lord God, because your wisdom is high above all wisdom. Glory to God. There is no one like you. So we give this hour to you. Just move, Holy Spirit, flow. I thank you for all the listeners today and in the days to follow. Father, I thank you that they will hear. They will hear from your spirit of love how much you care for them, how much that you are there for them, that you will never leave them and that you will not forsake them. And no matter what they're feeling in this moment, that they can be confident and assured that you are with them. You are present with them right now. Whether they acknowledge your presence or not, you are present because you are a God that loves unconditional. You so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for coming into the earth. We thank you for carrying our sins to the cross, bearing the punishment that was meant for us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Lord God, for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. We just praise your name this day. We glorify your holy name. We give thanks. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we have been on this journey with this message, Waiting on God. And as I said in the very beginning, in the first part of this message, that waiting on God is not something we do. It is a lifestyle. We don't wait on God because there's trouble in our lives and so we need to wait for his deliverance. But we should be waiting on him every day. And waiting on him is me. We're expecting and we're listening to hear from him, knowing that he will guide and instruct us and lead us, give us wisdom and understanding and insight, will reveal to us what we are truly seeing in this world, and we don't have to try and figure everything out because he is present and he is all-knowing and he knows us so well. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And also in learning how to live in this place of always waiting on God, it's a place where we will begin to develop our faith. We will begin to mature in our faith because what we're actually doing is abiding in Christ. We're just staying in him, being that branch that's connected to the vine and drawing all of our source. The source of everything that we need is coming from this vine. And as a result of that, we are able to let go of this control over our lives. Our lives have been bought with a price, the blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And even though it goes against everything that we have learned in this world about making our way, about striving and performing to achieve and to succeed, it goes against all of that. But when we trust God and we let go of the control of our lives, just as the scripture say, lose your life, just lose it. Lose it for his sake and just trust him, and you will begin to find real life. I want to start off by reading out of Psalms chapter 40, and I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Most of the scriptures that I'm going to do today is out of the Amplified Bible. I'm just in an amplified Bible mood. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 40, beginning in verse 1. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my footsteps and establishing my path. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I'm going to stop right there. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. My prayer today is that God will put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to him. I believe some of us today, we need a new song. We need a new song in our mouth to sing. The sing of God's praise. Amen. And God himself will place this new song in your mouth. Let me continue. Many will see and fear with great reverence and will trust confidently in the Lord. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not regard the proud nor those who lapse into lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us, there is none to compare with you. If you would declare and speak of your, if I would declare and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to count. If I would declare and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to count. Every day we can spend time just lay back quietly, sit quietly, and just think about all of the great wonders of the God that we serve. Just amazing things that he has done and continually doing. He's expressing himself every day in the earth. And we need to just sit back and contemplate and just think about it. You know, thinking is so important. I mean, that's something that we are always doing. Our minds are always at work. And you want to begin to control what your mind is. What are you thinking about? What do you think about the most? And once you move into a place where you're thinking more about God than you are about the things of this world, it will begin to propel you into this place where you are peaceful, you're moving in the joy of the Lord, you have a confidence, you're drawing a strength and a courage and a boldness from the Lord, because you have set your mind on him. Set your mind on him. Amen. Amen. So this is part 5, glory to God. And I have been focusing on what happens when we're living a life where we're waiting on God. When we really begin to step back and allow God to start to move into areas. And we don't allow it to happen all at once. You know, we'll open up to certain areas in our lives and we allow God to come in and have his way. And then there are other areas in our house that we don't let him into that room. We still have our hands in that area. And we're still trying to manipulate and control in that particular area. But God wants to be able to move through your every room in your life. Glory to God. Everything. He wants everything. 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 And the more you wait on him, you begin to release things. Things are being purged, or they're being just stripped away. It talks about that in John 15 when it talks about us being the branches and him being the vine, and how he prunes us. He prunes away these things that are not bearing fruit. And we don't often realize how many unnecessary things are attached to our lives and are not bearing fruit, but they can become cumbersome and they can become a weight. You know, that's why he's always saying, come ye all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a rest for the people of God. And we're so used to striving and working and keeping these schedules and just being busy in our minds, you know, always thinking about the next thing that has to be accomplished, the next thing that has to be done, the next task, the next responsibility, just busy inside and out. But God has said that there is a rest that he has prepared for us, that we can begin to just let go and begin to just breathe. Just begin to relax in him and just breathe and let go. Amen. So last week I talked about, in part four, I talked about being purged of our attachment to things. And that's going to be an ongoing process. You may not readily recognize all of the things that you're attached to, but as you continue to wait on God, he will begin to show you you're holding on to this too tightly. Just open up your palm. Let it, whatever it is, if it's a person or a thing or whatever it is, let it sit in an open palm. Amen. Because if it has to go, because all the things in this world are temporal. Amen. And so if it has to go, it's much easier to let it go if you're not gripped and holding on to something tightly, but you're holding it with an open palm. Amen. So I ask the question, like, where is your treasure? Sometimes you have to really look at your life, because your life will actually express what it is that you are attached to. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. It's going to be the thing that occupies a lot of the space within your heart. And so you have to look at, you know, where is my treasure? Where am I storing up my treasures? Is it here in this earth where things are going to pass away? This place where thieves can break in and fires? I just this week, this historical building in Paris, Notre Dame, the cathedral, historical with all sorts of artifacts, survived World War I, World War II, but it is still a temporal thing. And just look at how people responded to that. A lot of, I mean, just devastated by this history. But everything here in this world is temporal. Storms can come, fires can come, amen. So where's your treasure? What are you attached to? Amen. In part three, I talked about being purged of unbelief. Sometimes we are oblivious or indifferent to the amazing works of the hand of God. And we have to spend time, as I said before, about thinking about these wondrous things, the wondrous things he's done in your life, in the lives of others, in the life of the church historically, amen, through the lives of the people that we have, their testimonies in the scriptures, glory to God. We have to keep that in the forefront so that our hearts are not hardened and we forget when a challenge comes that the kind of God that we belong to is a God that with him all things are possible. All things are possible, and that he loves us. And it's not a love based on our performance, glory to God, but he loved us while we were still enemies, glory to God, amen. That's how great his love is. And so we have to be aware of what we're thinking and the attitudes, and are they speaking unbelief? Is that thought a thought that brings liberty, brings prosperity? Is it a prosperous thought, or is it a negative, restricting, and binding thought? Is that attitude, is it attitude that will block you from seeing the goodness of God and the things that God has prepared for you? Amen. Praise him, praise him. Part two, I talked about being purged or pruned of what others think, what they think of you, what they think about other people, and what they think about God. Amen. So today we are going to be looking at being pruned of disappointments and failures. Disappointments and failures. I am telling you that that is a hard thing for most, well, for everybody. Everybody deals with disappointments and failures. Amen. Let's look at what a disappointment is. Disappointment can be a sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. It's a sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Some other words for this disappointment is also regret. Heavy-hearted, depression, disillusionment, discontent, dissatisfaction. Disappointment can be a failure or a letdown. Or setback, or disaster, or a debacle, or a non-starter. Disappointment comes as a result of having our expectations and temporal things, things that change, things that are not constant. Only God is constant, never changing, eternal. Also, our disappointments can come through our selfish or misguided expectations. A lot of times we want things that are not necessarily the best for us, but we can't see it. But waiting on God allows Him to do what is best for us. That even if we want some expected end, we can release it into the hands of God and trust that He is going to give us an expected end that will bring fulfillment, that will bring joy, that will bring freedom. What are your expectations? What are your expectations in yourself? You know, we can become so disappointed with ourselves. Especially if you're in a performance-generated life, where it's all about your performance and your expectations to perform a certain level. And when you do not, you fall into this place of disappointment. Maybe you thought more highly of yourself than you needed to, than you should have. And it's not about lowering yourself or thinking less of yourself, but it's about abiding in the vine. The branch is not bragging. It is just connected to what is bringing life. And it's resting in that, expecting to receive all that it needs, all that it desires from the vine. It says God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's a good father. Also, we suffer from disappointment in others. Sometimes we are expecting things of other people that they just can't deliver. You hear the frustrations of children expecting certain things from their parents or from their siblings or from their uncle or their aunt or whoever, from a close friend. From your pastor. And when they don't deliver or they don't perform according to expectation, then comes the disappointment. In order to operate like God does, God operates in grace and in mercy, which is how we are to operate in our lives with others, is with grace and with mercy. So when they don't live up to your expectations or what you thought that they would do or be, you can release them. You can extend mercy. You can forgive them. Because when we don't forgive them, or when we're moving in this disappointed spirit, that we are making ourselves a prisoner by carrying this disappointment in others. We become prisoners, imprisoned by our disappointment. But Jesus came to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, disappointment in circumstances. You know, the way you thought your life was going to turn out. You know, by the time I reach this age, I want to be here, and I want to own this. I want to have this kind of job. I want to have these kinds of whatever it is. But disappointment is another word for discontentment. Discontentment. And when your treasure, when your treasures are things that are temporal, things that change, things that can be destroyed, things that can be lost, you need to be able to let go when it's time. And it is not a perspective that you're going to learn in this world. It can only be learned in the kingdom of God, where the Spirit of God resides. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. There is liberty from disappointment in your life, in circumstances, them not turning out as you expected. And then we have the disappointment with God. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge the fact that we're disappointed with God. But that disappointment comes because we haven't been seeing him rightly. How do you see God? Who is he to you? Jesus said that when his disciples was asking about, show me the Father, and he said, seeing him was seeing the Father, that he was an expression in the earth of the Father's heart and the ways of the Father. So if you study the life of Jesus and how he moved on the earth, how he interacted with people, you will know that your Father is a good Father. He's a good Father, and he comes where you are. He comes for you. He's a healer, a savior, a deliverer. He's your peace, your joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. And failure, looking at failure. How do you define success and failure? Now, in the world, it talks about a lack of failure is a lack of success. But according to whose definition? Is it the world's definition of what success is? And when you don't achieve it, then you determine that it's a failure? Jesus said, in this world, we will have trials and tribulations. And this is not stuff that just happens. There are some things that happen that are out of your control, but then there are the trials and tribulations you go through as a result of the decisions that you make, the choices that you make. He didn't separate or differentiate the difference between things that happen that are outside of your control and the things that are within your own life that you've just simply made bad choices. Choices that did not bring life. Choices that were not fruitful to your life. That's part of the trials and the tribulations in this world. Because as we are growing and we are shedding this old skin, this old life, letting go of the thought patterns, He has already set us free from that seed of sin that was sown in the garden. We are free from that, but there are patterns of thoughts and attitudes that we have that we don't all at once let go of. And a lot of them, we don't even recognize that it is even sin to have the attitude or to have the thought. But praise be, we have a patient Father. It says love is patient. Love, and it never fails. Glory to God. And He placed His Spirit on the inside of us for the very purpose of teaching us about this new life that we have in Him. Don't spend a lot of time looking at the old. Spend a lot of time looking at this new life that He is showing you. And you're not going to be able to look at this new life that you have in Christ if you are still in that success and failure consciousness. There's something greater that God is speaking to us that exists for us as children of the kingdom of God, which is where we are now. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, that there is something greater. And so even just defining success and failure already puts a limitation on us. There's no failure in God. So you have to have the right perspective in this whole matter when it comes to disappointments and failures. It's all about having the perspective of God. It says that the eye is the lamp of the body. It's talking about our spiritual eye, our focus, even our mental focus, what we're focusing on and what we're seeing. And if our eye is sound, it says that our bodies will be filled with light. We'll be able to see, because when there's no light, when our eye is not sound, and what we see breeds negativity in our lives, that negativity is not light, it's darkness. And when you're in darkness, you can't see what's before you. It'll cause you to stumble on things. So in this journey of life that you're on, the light will give you the clarity that you need to see as you take each step. But it's about maintaining this godly perspective. You know, this is a faith walk. I know we want to do all these things which is nothing wrong with them, but at some point we have to mature and know that we're not in charge of our spiritual growth. We want to be, but we're not. And what our life needs to be is a submission, a surrendering, a spirit of humility, allowing the Spirit of God to just consume us. That we are just one with God. This is where we are headed. Get excited about that. Get excited about that, because you no longer have to think in terms of success and failure, because you're no longer having to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where success and failure comes from, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we want to eat from the tree of life, which is greater, and it is outside of disappointment and failure. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 9. I'm going to read two verses, 9 and 10. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, you do not suffer alone. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts His blessing and favor, who called you to His own eternal glory in Christ, will Himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance, or let patience, have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. If you have the right perspective, you can endure. You can endure all things. Living in this love that comes from God, this unconditional love, knowing that He is with you in this. He is in your boat in the midst of the storm. You are not alone. And we don't just go through, we learn through the things we suffer. Even Christ, Jesus learned, it says, and He was without sin. Hebrews 5:8 says, although He was a son who had never been disobedient to the Father, He learned active, special obedience through what He suffered. And having been made perfect, uniquely equipped and prepared as Savior, and retaining His integrity amid opposition, He became the source of eternal salvation and eternal inheritance to all those who obey Him. Scripture says, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. And so we learn through the things that we suffer. We're not slaves to sin, but we will sin. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But he works everything together for our good. Jesus. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. So we don't have to act like or be surprised by the things that happen in this world. Because he's already told us that there's going to be trials and tribulations. But he's also told us that he's going to cause us to triumph. That we will always triumph. And patience will work a perfect work in our lives. We'll be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Back to John 16, I'm still in verse 33. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted. I like that word, undaunted. Be filled with joy. Be filled with the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. His victory remains with us. I want you to know that God is not disappointed in you. You may feel like that sometimes, but I'm here to tell you it's just a feeling. God is not disappointed. How can he be disappointed in you? How can he? He would have to be surprised, or he would have to not know that you were going to do something or say something or make some decision in order to be disappointed. Let's read this psalm, a psalm of David, 139. I'm going to read 18 verses. I try not to do the whole chapter. It's so good, you know, but I brought it down to 18 verses. But everything I'm about to read will clearly demonstrate to you why he cannot be disappointed in you, okay? Hallelujah. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, my entire life, everything I do. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, still unspoken, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand upon me. Such infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. Oh yeah, it's almost unbelievable. It's so wonderful. It is too high above me. I cannot reach it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Hallelujah. If I make my bed in hell, in Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. the place of the dead. If I make my bed in the place of the dead, behold, you are there. Wow. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. Jesus. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the night will be the only light around me, even the darkness is not dark to you and conceals nothing from you. But the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. How precious also are your thoughts to me. O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So his eyes saw your unformed substance, and in his book, all your days were written that were appointed for you, when as yet there was not one of them that had even taken shape. Your unformed substance. Glory to God. He cannot be disappointed in you. He knows your life. He knows your life. He knows everything that you will ever speak, everything that you will ever think, ever do. He already knows. And in every moment, because that's how detailed he is, there is something there for you from him. He is the gift. He himself is the gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You always cause us to triumph. You always cause us to triumph. There's another reality that exists in him. It's a place where dying leads to life, where losing leads to gain, where darkness and light are alike to him, a place where we're never separated from the love of God. The pruning is always taking place. We learn from disappointments and failures. There are only disappointments and failures in our lives. But with God, He takes it and works it for good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because he died for all that stuff. He died for all of that. He died for all that negative stuff. Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you know us. You know us completely, and you love us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You know us and you love us. You called us friend. You laid down your life for us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his glorious face, and the things of earth will grow slowly dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Yeah, 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 yeah. Prince of Peace, mighty God. Yeah, my strong deliverer, my fortress, my God. We wait on you, we wait on you, we wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for everything that you have released through this word today. Thank you. We know that spirit is life. And we thank you that that life has been released today. And that everyone that hears, that their spirit is open to receive, to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To receive even the things that are unsaid. Because you even move in that place where words are not spoken. For you are spirit and you are life. You are spirit and you are life. And we just receive that. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Oh Lord, your tenderness, melting all my bitterness. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Oh Lord, your loveliness, changing my unworthiness. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Oh, I receive. Oh Lord, I receive your love. Oh, receive. Your love, oh, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord. Oh, Lord, I receive your love, Aurora Maya Seda. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, for this airtime. Thank you, God. Thank you for the work that you began in us. We thank you that you are faithful, that you're going to complete it. You're going to perfect those things that concern us. And we thank you. Thank you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. So this is the end of our broadcast for today. Amen. This is part 5 of Waiting on God. I don't know what is going to, the Holy Spirit is going to be doing for us next week. But God willing, I will be here. Amen. Praise God. So tomorrow night, we've got Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose. Glory to God, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So praise God. Be blessed. Go forth. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you.